Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Well, housing is supposed to be driving the economy. And if it is driving the economy, it is in the HOV lane, moving at quite a clip. The S&P Case-Shiller 20 City annual rate of increase in home prices, 9.3% better than expected. The data out this morning, this is February data out this morning. Carl Case and Robert Shiller put together the index. Carl Case from Wellesley College, Robert Shiller from Yale University. They met at a freshman mixer, I guess, and put together their indexes. Thank you both for joining us this morning. I want to start with Bob, because every time we do this report, you come on and we ask you, does this show that the economy and housing is finally getting better? And you say, well, I don't know. 9.3%. Do you know now?
I don't.
Sorry. Well, at least he's consistent, Carol.
Well, I think it's a question of honesty. What matters for most people is the longer run, right? Not what happens next month or so. And I don't think anybody knows where home prices are going. They're back down where they, you know, kind of been on average, but are they going up or down? It could go either way.
Well, Chip, can I ask you to maybe fight with Bob here? It just strikes me that a lot of people might care about the short run where house prices are, because they're going to decide now that it's March whether to put their houses on the market and whether we're going to see home sales start to rise.
I'll play devil's advocate a little bit to start out with, which is that our own work looks at house prices back beginning in the 80s, and it shows a lot of inertia. And so when you look at this column of one-year changes, when half of them are double-digit, the only time we've seen those are in boom periods, anything like this. I was looking at the numbers from 1996 to 2006 with our buyers looking backward 10 years. And there you see numbers 17, 18, 19%. But it's been 8 years since we've been on this downward slope. So I'd say it's pretty refreshing. I think it does indicate that at least the housing is a tailwind, not a headwind. Whether it's another boom or not is another question. There's a lot of stuff to worry about.
You know, Chip, you're right. When we look at some of the year-over-year increases for specific cities, Atlanta up 16.5%, Detroit up 15.2%, Vegas up 17.6%, yeah. Phoenix up 23%. But some of those are coming from some really, really beaten down states at this point. So we need to keep that in perspective, that we're coming from some very significantly low levels here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at just a real quick point, I'm looking now at the actual value of a house and how much it went up in L.A. Starting in 96. These are the annual rates for 10 years. 5, 16, 8, 11, 10, 17, 20, 28, 21, and that was right before it went negative, minus 10, minus 3, and so forth. So these things can turn around, but there's a lot of inertia, so I'm encouraged.
Well, Bob, does that scare you to see these kinds of price increases so rapid?
Well, we are in a volatile market. Well, one thing that we could mention is that seasonality has gotten very strong, much more so than it used to be. So it's a little bit hard to read these numbers. They're actually, you know, in terms of the level of our indexes, it's about the same where it was in September. And so we haven't increased. You're looking at a 12-month, but if you look at 6 months, it doesn't look impressive at all. So you have to go back to saying, well, but on a seasonally adjusted basis, they're still going up. But it's kind of fuzzy because seasonality seems unstable.
Why is that?
I wish we knew. I mean, it had something to do with foreclosures. Foreclosures have been a dominant thing affecting the price index for recent years, and they may have a different seasonal pattern.
I don't mean to deprecate our own index, but I think the most important number out in the last few days is that starts went over a million. And it's been 9 years of volatility, starting with the peak in 2006, actually. But housing, if you look at housing starts, that's where the action is in GDP. An existing sale is a transaction of a used asset from one person to another. There's not a lot of profit. There's not a lot. There's profit, but there's not a lot of GDP in that transaction. But if you look at starts, individual starts, that's a $250,000 piece of capital that's under production, and it's going to be in under production for quite a while. And if GDP growth was 2.5%, if you take an average estimate of what the new home means to the economy, it's about 0.8%. So it's about a quarter of the growth is attributable to actually residential construction.
So, gentlemen, based on the housing data that we're seeing, and we have about a minute left here, should we become more upbeat about the economic outlook? Bob, why don't you take it first, just quickly?
I think it's very important to remember that this is engineered by the Fed. They had announced QE3 last fall. They're buying $40 billion a month of mortgages. This is a temporary plan, and it's goosing the market right now, just as the first-time homebuyer tax credit did in 2009. They took that off, and home prices came down again.
Chip, you got about 30 seconds here.
Well, there's some big worries in what the government's doing. I mean, it is true that 80% of the sales are somehow guaranteed. It's also true that we thought there's going to be a huge shadow inventory pouring into the market as soon as prices started to rise, and it's not. The vacancy rates are very, very low. Inventory figures for sale properties, very, very low. Everyone talks about that on the street. And then you've got the worry about rising interest rates. We're at 3.5%. on a 30-year fixed-rate interest rate, 1.65 in a 10-year.
What about as we start to see some of those homes continue to come out of the foreclosure or go through the foreclosure process? We know that that was slowed down dramatically in the last year or so. When that starts to come into the marketplace, what does it do to the pricing?
Well, it's coming in, and it's coming in at a more rapid rate than it was. But a lot of it's been cleared out. As prices rise, all boats are lifted. And so every day, some of these that were underwater are less underwater. So it's all going in the right direction. But it's been going on as a process for 8 years, right? That it's taken 8 years to get that inventory to the point that it is now. And it's much smaller than it was. But it's still there, and there's no doubt about that.
Let me broaden it out a little bit here and ask you, Bob, as housing improves, do you feel more optimistic about the U.S. economy going forward? Obviously, we're in a bit of a down quarter, but everybody's forecast is that we pick up by the end of the year. Do you see that happening?
Well, if home prices do, as so many people think, recover, that certainly will help the economy. It will lift a lot of households that are currently underwater, that is, they owe more on their mortgages than their home is worth, back into positive territory. And it will fix balance sheets of all kinds of financial institutions. And I think it will give us a sense of improved confidence. It's really important. The only thing is I don't know that it will happen.
Why are you still pessimistic about it at this point?
Well, it's a question whether you call that optimistic or pessimistic. I mean,
or realistic.
Cheap housing is a good thing, isn't it? Right? Affordable housing. We're taking one perspective. There are some people who are renting and hoping the prices come down. So I don't know. I think that probably nothing really exciting is going to happen. That's maybe not what you wanted to hear. But we had the biggest home price bubble in U.S. history, national bubble. And are we going to see that again? I'm thinking probably not. These things are rare events, and we've learned our lesson. We have Dodd-Frank now. We have all kinds of new regulations. We have definitions of qualified mortgages. You know, it's not going to happen again. Now, they might go up. Absolutely. It's looking positive. But let's not get too excited and not forget to diversify our portfolios.
Well, Chip, should we look at housing differently because now that we've gone through the crisis that, you know, I hear more and more folks saying housing isn't such a great investment and we shouldn't look at it like that anymore.
It's really important and it's really interesting to see how people's attitudes have changed. Bob and I surveyed people. We surveyed people every year for the last 12 years. In fact, we go back to 88 with the survey of homebuyers. And you ask them what their expectations are. And in 2006, Coming into 2006, where prices have just been rising steadily everywhere in the country, national home prices never fell for 15 or 20 or 30 years. They went down in various spots, but never as a nation until 96. So people had never lived through a down cycle, and they didn't think that, I literally knew people who didn't think house prices could fall. Now they know. And if you look at their expectations coming out of the bottom, looking at the expectations in our most recent survey, 2012, people are saying prices are going to go up 3.1% on average over the next few years. And all of a sudden, you get this shot of 9.3%. It's enough to make us happy, but I think we're much more realistic. The economy also, this time is coming out in the wake of that terrible recession in 2008, and in the late part of the previous decade when we were in a boom, the economy was doing fantastically for 20 years.
Bob, you're at Yale, where the spirit of James Tobin reigns. Markets are not always efficient, and there is a role at times for government. Is there a role for the Federal Reserve and for fiscal policy at this point to counteract some of the uncertainty, at least, that you see? Or do we just let markets continue to clear?
Well, the Dodd-Frank bill gave so many different roles to the Federal Reserve that they must have their heads spinning there now. The Fed is part of the Financial Stability Oversight Council. They're doing research on all manner of systemic issues. They're absolutely central. I think they probably don't sleep well at night because they're trying kind of experimental policies that they've tripled their balance sheet in just a few years. And they're on track to maybe get it to quadrupled. So they're pushing really hard. I think we have to thank Ben Bernanke for being so bold and a little bit controversial. And it's limited the severity of this crisis. It could have been much worse.
But do we need more?
Well, I think I would continue with QE3. I don't think the Fed has unlimited power. They've done quite a bit. And they're standing ready if there's some crisis to go through the Dodd-Frank routine. We'll see what happens.
It feels to me like they're standing at a poker table and they've gone all in. That is, we've got the tax laws that are very favorable to housing, non-taxation of imputed rent and deductibility of mortgage interest, which is coming under challenge. They've essentially nationalized Fannie and Freddie. That was a huge, huge act, and it had a big effect on the market, and it's now playing with the yield curve to the benefit of housing, getting long-term bonds to hold their value, and so it's extraordinary how much they're doing, and I think that's what's keeping these numbers alive.
Bob, before we let you go, I got to ask you guys, and we only have a minute here. Reinhard Rogoff or Herndon Ashe in Poland, what do you make of the debate?
I assign Reinhard Rogoff as a text for my course, and I told my students I know of no errors in that. It was one short paper they wrote that these people have attacked. I'm really behind Reinhard and Rogoff. I think they made a mistake. They found a mistake, but to err is human.
They never found any mistakes on us, Bob.
Not yet.
Be careful.
Have you checked your Excel spreadsheets?
I agree with that completely.
Wow, there we go. All right, thank you both very much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.